right, taking it up a notch or two or four, we welcome in Brian Burke in studio, former NHL executive. I see he's got Canucks, Ducks, Leafs, Flames, Penguins. He doesn't have our Hartford Whalers.
Oh, yeah.
Sammy.
My first team, my first trade.
I will, I'll give you a mulligan on that one, Sammy. No problem. How are you, pal? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Nikki.
How are things? All right?
Everything's good.
See you every once in a while. Pop up on my phone. Still doing a few shows here and there. Glad we got you finally. But you've been fairly busy, I think, around the circuit a little bit and still consulting, I think, for women's hockey as well.
Yeah, still with the PWHLPA, but winding down. I told them when I took the job I'd do 2 years. Mm. And a woman had to take over, and that's what's happened. So I'm on the back nine, or probably putting on 17, probably, near the end. Still helping out. Love the product. Love the women.
And still working hard with Hockey Hall of Fame as well?
Yep, still on the selection committee.
And still managing to watch a ton of games and having probably an opinion just as passionate as you had, like, 30, 40 years ago, because we're coming off this Four Nations tournament, Berkey, where many of us weren't sure what we were going to get. Did you have any doubt at all that the guys would come out of it with so much, I don't know, venom, piss and vinegar, call it whatever you want?
No, I don't think anyone who said they saw that coming is being truthful. Mm-hmm. But I certainly laughed and I said it on the radio. People said, you think it'll be like a glorified All-Star game? You don't know what it's like. You put your sweater on, put that logo on, you're going to play hard. I didn't think they'd play this hard. It was fantastic.
And how has it been for you, with the cross-border relations here? Now, you're American.
I'm a dual.
You're a dual. Okay, that's good. So you've kind of been on both sides of this fence watching
When the U.S. is playing Canada, I'm cheering for the U.S.
You
are. I cheer for Canada every other day of the month, every other day of the year, but not when USA Canada. I'm USA.
Well, you've been involved with the USA program quite a bit.
I did 12 teams for Team USA.
Yeah.
Two Olympic teams.
Then you're excused. We'll give you a pass on that.
What bothers me is when Canadians are playing Americans, they're going to cheer for Canadians, I get it, Canadian
sure.
fans. But when Americans are playing anyone else, we're cheering for, Canada's playing the Russians, we're cheering for the Russians. The Canadians are cheering, Canada plays U.S., or Russia plays U.S. The Canadians are cheering for Russians. I don't get that.
Yeah.
It's the new rivalry, Canada versus the U.S.
It's not going to get better either right now.
No, it doesn't look like it is.
It isn't. And when you factor in all of the political landscape, and then we saw the three fights in 9 seconds. Is that what it was? I can't. Mm-hmm. 3 and 9. And now what I find really funny right now is, like, last night there was an episode between Kemper and
Swayman.
And now we are reporting on almost fights. They're actually, like, leading, like, the news a little bit on these two goalies almost fighting. It's almost as if, like, there's this new discovery of fighting again. And, like, there's no talk about is it needed in the game anymore or concussions or anything. It's like, wow, we almost
Bring
saw two goalies fighting last night. Too bad. You know, bad referees, bad officials.
I was screaming at the officials, too.
Yeah,
get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Let them go. Berkey,
is it come back a little bit based on those
three
fights?
Not a little bit. I think it's come back nicely. I think it's been the last year or so when Florida played like they played, and Sam Bennett and Tkachuk, they started a lot of stuff. I think fighting's coming back in. Toughest guy in the game right now is Olivier, in my view. Mm-hmm. That's become fashionable again, which I don't mind. Because I've been a proponent of getting more fighting back in the game. I don't want to go back to the old days. Everyone says, oh, you're a dinosaur. No, I don't want, like when I played the American League, we had 3-hour games. We had nine fights. Remember, we emptied the bench one night in Halifax. We had four skaters that left at the end of the game. It's crazy. I don't want to go back to that, but where we've gone is too sanitized for me.
Do you think the league is going to start promoting it a little bit more?
I hope so.
Well, there was a minute there.
You can make a comeback.
But there was a minute there where it felt like, oh, it's all speed and skill, and that's the way the new game is going to be. But it's almost like people realize you can't play a physical contact sport and act like intimidation's not real.
Well, you can, but it's a joke. I mean, it leads to all the other violence that we don't want. Mm-hmm. High sticks and cheap shots and slew foots. When you have to fight, when you take a cheap shot at someone, you might have to answer the bell. It puts a great qualifier in the game and the way it's played. So to me, the one thing I don't like, well, I don't hate, but I don't like, is the clean hit fights.
Mm-hmm.
What's come back is when you played, Nicky, the only two guys that had that protection were star player and a goalie.
Yeah.
Goalie got hit, you're fighting.
Yeah.
Star player got hit. Now it's every player gets a clean hit. Someone goes after. I don't like that. We got to find that balance somewhere.
As far as what it did to the game, what it did to build up the popularity, either in the U.S. or added in Canada, there's no question there seems to be a wave going on in the National Hockey League that's leading to a salary cap that's moving up tremendously, which is leading up, Berkey, of the talk of maybe going to 34 teams, 36 teams. Say what you will about if there's enough players out there, the talent, whatever. Berkey, we're talking about a $1.5 billion, $2 billion. Who's turning that down?
No one. But that doesn't make it right.
But should
the fact,
yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they'll take the money, they're going to take the money. Players want to take the money. Owners want to take the money. They want to create the jobs that players do. The owners want to take the money. So it's going to happen. That doesn't mean it's right. I think it's a big mistake, huge mistake, to increase the number of teams in the playoffs or the number of regular season games. Both really dumb ideas. And I agree with the league on most everything. I'm a big Bettman fan. Everyone knows that. We've been friends for 35 years. But that doesn't make this a sensible step or a meaningful step or the right step. Should be no. We grew up with 32. You have a parade now every 32 years. Let's not make that 40.
So what is the balance there between, everyone tells all of us that Bettman's job is to work on behalf of the owners, right? That's his, they're his bosses, I think, is the common way to phrase it. But at what part of the role is being a steward of the game? Because I think of the level of play, and I don't think there's four more teams worth of guys in the American League that can skate beside, you know, take your pick, McDavid, McKinnon, whoever.
Well, I'll tell you an anecdote about Gary Bettman that will show you how pure he is when it comes to the focus of the game. He called me in my first year and he said, look, I'm getting pressure to expand. You got to assure me, you and Dave Nolan's got to sit down and show me there's enough player pool to add two more teams or four more teams. So his intentions were pure. I think they still are. I think the average person would say two more teams is not a problem. You look at the growth of college hockey, junior hockey, expansion of new rules with major junior players being able to keep playing after they get done their junior eligibility. There's a radical change in the system. I think there's enough players to add two teams. That's not why I don't want to add two teams. The players are going to vote for, that's 40 new jobs, 46 new jobs. They're going to vote for two new teams. GM's going to vote, hey, it's two more GM jobs. The problem is at some point the league would be too big. I think it's big enough now, and I think if you keep expanding, I think we are going to have attendance problems in a couple of buildings come on up here soon anyway. I think it's time to say 32 is enough.
It's hard to follow.
Yeah.
So who's that kid in the third line on that team?
Maybe from a national perspective, JB, yeah. But from a regional one, like, they haven't got too many markets wrong here in the last little while.
They got Atlanta wrong twice.
And they may go back to it.
Yeah. Which would be that's an incredible mistake.
We had Ryan Smith on, the owner of
It's easy to take Boston, like, Utah. Let's see how Utah works out. It looks great right now.
It does look great
right
now.
Very small building, non-traditional market. The first 5 years isn't the hard part. The sixth and the year and beyond is the hard part. So let's see. It's a little early to say Utah's a success. It's been a great success for what, 14 months? Come on.
Okay.
Atlanta was too. Selling tickets the first year. Same thing with the PWHL. Selling out buildings in different buildings once is a lot harder than selling them every night.
I mean, there's no doubt it is a substantially different thing. So
will PWHL make a mistake if they expand now?
Yes. Yes, I've told them that. They make a huge mistake. They don't listen to me. Nobody listens to me.
We're listening.
Yeah.
No, expansion's coming. No one's going to say it's 1.5. They paid $1.3 billion in Utah. They're not going to turn down 1.5 for Houston, whatever the number is. They're not. That doesn't mean it's smart. Just means you've got someone dumb enough to pay $1.5 million and a league dumb enough to say, we'll let you in for $1.5 billion. It doesn't mean it's smart. It doesn't mean it's sensible long term.
So the thing with, like, Houston and Phoenix, like, it's just population of the cities. Is that what the great appeal is for Bettman? Like,
yes.
We want to be in the biggest American cities.
That's why they held on to Phoenix for so long. It made sense. I was part of the vote on that. I was with the team then. Mm-hmm. They said, we're losing money, but we got to keep it to 5 million DMA. We got to keep that market. We got to keep Phoenix. We got to keep Phoenix. Got to keep Phoenix. So we kept Phoenix. We beat it to death, and finally they gave up. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean Phoenix won't work as an NHL market. It's accustomed to hockey. Their hockey fans are great there. It'll go there again. They just got to get the right building location. I'm not convinced Utah works.
Yeah, like you think even like once they have a new building, you're in year six, you're not a winning team, you could see it getting dicey.
It's not a traditional hockey market. It's not a big market compared to others. I have doubts about it. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Pray I'm wrong.
We've got Brian Burke in studio, former NHL executive. Multiple teams, including mine in Hartford once upon a time. General manager meetings, Berkey. You miss them?
Yeah, I do. You got to swear a lot at those meetings. I don't get to swear so much. Here, I can't swear. Sammy's got the little delay button on just in case. But no, I miss them. I thought a lot of the good things got done then. And my first one, I remember my first one, we worked on the rules. I was so intimidated by those senior guys, like Glenn Slater and Cliff and Harry Sinden. I didn't dare say a word.
You didn't say a word?
I didn't say a word the first couple. Then finally they yelled at me to say something.
Yeah. You said, I think you're a bunch of idiots.
Anything strike out of anything, either from rule changes to goalie interference to what do you do with the draft?
Well, the draft, I think, is a mistake, but I think Gary's doing the right thing on the draft. He said
he knows it's a mistake, too.
Yeah, I think he thinks it's a mistake as well. The GMs started that whole thing. A couple of GMs had trouble getting back after the draft and were late for free agency and complained about it, and that's what started that whole thing. So it was a mistake. I think it'll go back to the old way. I think the mistake was I'm hearing the price tag to go to the Sphere last year. Was staggering. They don't want to make that mistake again, but I think they'd like to go back to the conventional draft, and Gary Bettman basically said that in the meetings, after the meetings.
Yeah, I was complaining the other day saying that's just like the cost of doing business. They have a unique, very cool event, but I understand a convention center in Columbus is probably a little bit more affordable than the Sphere.
Well, the cost of doing business, everyone says, oh, we have a decentralized draft, we'll save money. How are you going to save money? One still flies in.
Right.
They go to their home city. So all the scouts from Sweden and Finland and they still all fly in. Your scouts from Western Canada still fly to New York.
Right.
You don't save any goddamn money. You don't save a cent.
Do you need to fly them all in?
Yes, you do. You have to be there. You need the interaction. You need the time. I made two big deals on the draft floor. One of them was Chris Pronger in 93.
Yeah.
I couldn't have done that, I don't think, if it hadn't been live.
Yeah.
I really think it would have been hard to do. And the Twins, for sure, I couldn't have done.
And so So today, I understand that they're not doing a centralized draft this year. People are still doing deals in person, talking at the draft, yeah?
Yes.
You would think they would recognize the value in that.
I think it's a handful of GMs. I've heard a couple names. I'm not going to name them. I've heard a couple of guys started complaining about it, and the guy said, oh, let's do that. We'll save a lot. It does save some wear and tear, but it's not like this notion that everyone says, oh, we'll save a lot of money. You don't save money. It's a misnomer. It's a joke. We should get back to what we did. It was the best draft in pro sports by a mile. Kid gets drafted, stands up, kisses his mom, hugs his dad, hugs his family members, goes down, puts on a sweater. How cool is that?
Yeah. Nothing like it. We had Luke Robitaille telling his great draft story. It feels like something we need to get back to.
They ran out of pins. on Luke.
I wouldn't let guys put hats on him when I dress. That really pissed the league off.
You wouldn't let them put it because messing up their hair?
You take the picture and he's got his arms around his mom and dad. You can't see his face.
Yeah.
Because of the brim of the cap. So I wouldn't let the guys put hats on.
I like that
and
rule.
I've had moms of players I drafted call me afterwards and say thank you.
Yeah.
Looked at all the pictures. My son's the only one you could see. But the league got mad at me for that. So.
What do you see around the league? We could have six or seven teams out of Canada make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That would be awesome. The one thing Batman said that I agree with wholeheartedly is the league has never been in a better place, especially now with, like you said, Nikki, fighting coming back a little bit. The games are great. The races are great. There is parity. There's a bunch of teams still alive. The Canadian teams are all doing well right now. So it's been a great year for the Canadian teams. Been a great year for the NHL.
And be a great year for Sportsnet if we can get six or seven Canadian teams in the mix. You know, we have an hour before you're on where we talk just about the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know how closely you follow them, but are things going to be different this year, Berkey, for the Leafs?
Depending on where they finish and who they play, I think the order of finish is really critical. They're clearly better. The Leafs are clearly a better team than they were.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the changes the tree has made are good. I like the new coach a lot. I don't know if they get a different result. Looking at the teams. Look at the teams. The teams that got better. Florida got better. You know, Toronto got better, but I'm not sure they're good enough to beat the reigning champions. Tampa got better. You look around. Dallas got better. Winnipeg got better.
So how much
Colorado
luck
is Ottawa got better. Ottawa got better.
Yeah. So how much luck was involved for you when you would have a team going into playoffs where you felt like, this year I have a team, this year I don't have a team? How much of it just comes down to, like, bounces over a two-week period?
I never did much at the deadline if I thought I had a chance. The year we won it all, I brought in Brad May. And Brad May was a critical guy for our team. He's a glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a support guy. He wasn't a star. It wasn't like some of these other moves. Like, wasn't bringing in Rantanen or something like that.
Right.
So it was, I think the trade deadline's overrated. I checked again before we came on air. They're only awarding one cup
still,
this year.
Right?
So these teams that loaded up, look at the West. Someone's going down hard.
Yeah.
That spent a lot of money and assets to get guys, picks, players. Someone's going out fast and hard in a pine box.
How much pressure is on general managers that go in heavily at the trade deadline? And I'll use Brad Treliving as an example on Scott Laughton, where it wasn't cheap, right? And he hasn't had much success with the points, spending far too much time in his own zone. How much pressure is it on the Leafs that they find a place for this guy to fit in moving forward? Or, Berkey, do you not worry about that so much because the deal's done? You ain't going back. You still got a dozen games to go. But how much of a priority would it be on a team, not just Scott, but any team, to make sure that the general manager looks good on a trade?
I've never even mentioned that to my coach, how I look on the trade. I never even mentioned that to him. I wouldn't mention it to him. I remember one time when I first got to Calgary, I was asked by Bob Hartley, if I could dress so-and-so. I said, you dress whomever you like. That's after Jay Feaster came out. And I said, you dress whoever you like. And he said, well, I don't want to make you look bad. I said, don't worry about how I look. Just worry about winning games.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it wouldn't be that. It's more a belief that they believe in this guy. They got to find him a place to play because he's a good player. I think that was a good pickup. Hasn't worked out so far, but it will, I believe.
So tell us about the evolution of the role of president and GM in front offices, because it felt like for years when I was younger, president was a business side role. And now you see, Montreal and Vancouver and some of these president roles. And I can't speak to how yours was, but it feels like they're much more involved in the actual hockey decisions than they used to be.
When I was president of a couple teams, the only one I was ever truly the president was in Vancouver, because
mm-hmm.
I ran the business. Dave Cobb was my right-hand man, and Dave Cobb and I ran the business, everything from ticket prices to ad campaigns, television commercials, music, playlists, everything, whole thing, start to finish, top to bottom. That was the only team I ever ran the business on completely. With the Leafs, I never did. Richard Petty did that. And then the Calgary and Pittsburgh, I was president of hockey operations only. So the true president's a very different job. President of Hockey Ops is oversee the GM, watch the farm team play. Like in Pittsburgh, I was a principal contact with the farm team. Go in and see Wilkes-Barre play and go on the road with them a couple times a year, do all that stuff, try and sign free agents, oversee the hockey side, not the business side.
They panned to Brendan Shanahan Saturday night in Nashville. And, you know, 10 years there, Berkey, and there's no question that there's a lot of pressure, I think, on him or the group in general to get the Leafs over the hump here. But other than the fact that as a president, obviously a big part of maybe where his future lies is on the next dozen games to the first couple of rounds.
Well, I think that's the math that we all live with. And obviously the longer you go without success as a team, the shorter the rope gets and the more pressure builds. I think Shanny's a great guy. I think he's done a really good job. But at some point, the math isn't going to work. At some point, people are going to say it's time for a change. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful that's not going to happen. I think Shanny's done a good job. I really like him personally and professionally. So I'm hoping that's not the case. The fact of the matter is, time runs out on every GM. We run out of time. They've had great success here, regular season. Report cards for the GM, the coach. Star players are going to be in April and May, May and June, not in April.
So, Berkey, how much room is there in the GM, president, sort of front office fraternity for new ideas, new ways of thinking? I'm thinking of Eric Tulsky when I ask this question because I would say he's a bit of an outlier as someone who came from a totally different field and analytics nerd, you know, to some people, and now he doesn't look the part compared to some people. How would that be welcome? Do you think there is a direction for GMs to go that's different, or do you think that guys like him will be just stay as infrequent as they've been?
I think you'll see a blending of styles. I think the problem is everyone wants analytics, and everyone says analytics is great, analytics is great, analytics is great. I spoke at the Sloan School years ago, and I said analytics are like a lamppost to a drunk, useful for support, but not necessarily for illumination. That's the first and last time I've been asked to speak there.
Yeah.
Never been asked back since.
Yeah.
I think the key is it's one other tool in the toolbox. That's all it is. Anyone who thinks you can find a winning hockey team sitting in a laptop is an idiot. An idiot. But you can't disregard the advice and the contribution that they make. A person who ignores it is a bigger idiot. So our view is we'll worry first what we watch and what we see. We'll do our homework and find out more about these players. Then we'll put the analytics layer on and find out, well, are we looking at the wrong thing? Are we making a mistake? So it has a very critical role. I think to think you're going to find players sitting at a laptop is just dumb.
You know, that reminds me, I would have paid big bucks to see you and Tom Dundon work together.
Oh, yeah, that would have lasted real long. I got to remember my thing here. I'll screw this up. I got to say hi to Kim Coates' mom. It's her birthday tomorrow, Joyce. Joyce Coates, happy birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Joyce.
Happy birthday.
From Kim Coates, great Canadian actor, Saskatoon boy.
Love that.
The new owner, much different from when I broke into the league in the 90s, where it was Mr. Wirtz and Mr. Jacobs and Mr. Snyder in Philly.
Yeah.
Now we're like looking at guys made a lot of money pretty fast on the internet. And they're hands-on. They're hands-on. Like,
it's Jerry Jones. It's like you buy yourself a toy to play with.
Except Jerry Jones played Division I college football. He started at the University of Arkansas. He was a legitimate prospect football player, legitimate guy. He had working knowledge of the game at the college level. It's not an analogy to some guy that made $1 billion selling vacuum cleaners. Jesus, Murphy, it's different.
Did Tom Dundon make a mistake trading for Rantanen?
Yes. And they made a nice recovery, a nice pivot on it. But, yeah, they didn't make their team any better, even though they won 8 or 9 in a row. They thought they were adding a Stanley Cup piece, and they didn't do their homework, and they had to move him. Mm-hmm. Now, a nice pivot by Eric, Tulsky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice pivot, got a good player, a good young player, small but good. 2 first-round picks, I believe. Nice pivot. But their team didn't get better. it wasn't a success. It wasn't the haul he would have gotten if they'd had him signed and traded him. Mm-hmm. No, it was a mistake.
So are you surprised watching, since you left Pittsburgh, are you surprised watching where they're at?
Well, there's some limitations on what I'm allowed to say about Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
At least till June 30th. So.
Okay. Look forward to having you on July 2nd.
Yeah, no. A minute after it expires.
I can't root against it, though. I can't. I watched the game last night, and I know people say you must love it when Pittsburgh loses. I don't at all.
Yeah.
Not because of Sid and Tanger and Gino, and it was a pretty special group of guys.
I saw Sid is 2 goals shy of the 20th. 20 goal season or something like that. 2 points short of the point per game. That's what it is. Point per game for
watching.
20 season. Apparently, you are at least.
God, I could just pepper you all day with questions here, but I'll start this one.
No order.
I'll follow up on Rantanen and Mitch Marner. Two players.
By the way, interrupt. Yeah. I forgot one thing you asked about Gary Bettman and the playoff format. Gary has steadfastly resisted increasing the number of teams that make the playoffs, which I support as well.
Boo.
I'm really old school on that. This play-in and this other. The regular season is so intense right now because of the way we have it. We had a play-in that you lose some of that intensity. Gary's been on the right side of that issue for me.
Okay. Rantanen and Marner, two markets in Colorado and Toronto that probably didn't envision both players possibly either not finishing the season or being in a different uniform the following season. Have you had a player that you teetered on that you didn't know, waited, weren't sure on, and, you know, could the Leafs handle this differently? Could Colorado have handled this differently? How do you see all of that the last little while?
You're asking a question that requires me to think back more than about 24 months, so that's really hard. but no, I think, put it this way. I think once they brought his name up, once Carolina brought up Mitch's name, I think Tree had an obligation to take it to him. I don't think at that point, not a fiduciary obligation, like a legal obligation, but at some point, you have the obligation to not go to Mitch Marner later and say, they asked about you, and he said, I would love to go there. Mm. So I think at that point, you hate making the call probably because you know it's going to upset him, but you say, Mitch, they asked, I have to ask you, do you want to go to Carolina? He said no. I think it took him about 4 seconds to say no.
Have you had a player that you wanted to sign that was looking at unrestricted free agency and ended up leaving that you weren't sure about?
No, because we were much more discerning with our no trade clauses. That's one thing Tree.
Everyone has one now.
One thing Tree inherited was a whole bunch of no trade, no move clauses, which are very different. Very different than a list of 8 or 10. Most I ever gave, I think, was 8 teams. And what burned my ass is the 8 teams would always be the 7 Canadian teams, whether the kids were Canadian or not. Even Canadian kids would put their names on the no-trade list. I'm like, how can you do that? How can it all be 7 Canadian teams on your no-trade list when you're Canadian?
Do you think, you know, when we sit here and go, boy, no cups in Canada since 93, that's connected, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the league, I saw a response. The league said, well, since the salary cap came in, as many southern markets have won, many California Cups have won as many, whatever. Like, it's not linked. The non-tax states won as many Cups as the taxable states. I'm like, they're counting 2 California Cups, 1 Cup in Anaheim. And, like, I'm like, okay, but those are all kind of old, though. My Cup seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
So in the 15, 18 years, it really hasn't worked that way. It's definitely a factor. I don't know what you do about it. It's definitely, tax structure is a factor. And who says it's not as crazy? The other little thing in the States is you get to deduct the mortgage, the interest you pay on your mortgage. So they subsidize the home buyer. And so you get to write that off too. You don't get to write that off in Canada. Mm-hmm. It's a huge tax savings.
Mm-hmm. Taxes came up at the general manager meetings, but I don't think it doesn't sound like anything's going to come out of it.
Do much with it.
But is it a big issue?
Yes.
It is.
There's no way to just have it be pre-tax dollars.
What about with tariffs right now? You're
right.
It's really difficult thing to do. I'd like to see a way to come with take-home dollars or your cap dollars, but I'm not sure how you do that.
Yeah.
We'll solve it on another day.
More lawyers. Okay. Good news
more
for
lawyers.
You.
We got one right here.
What's that? Yeah.
We got one right here.
I know. And actually showed out, I believe, his son.
We got a great lawyer joke, but it's not appropriate for this show.
I'm totally unsurprised by that.
Hey, awesome stuff, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Burke. You appreciate it.
That is the great Brian Burke. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, a little game time. Sammy McKee, more Real Kipper after the break. And Bourne.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Go a little game time with Sammy McKee.
Oh, boy. I don't have the right sheet. I don't have the right sheet. Oh, I do. I've only been doing this every day for two seasons, and I panic.
By playoffs, you got to have that thing memorized.
Okay. I'll try right now.
Okay.
I can't do it. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So tons of college basketball over the weekend, and I'm sorry, Barney. You're Johnny's.
Oh, man.
The Red Storm. They got stormed.
They're going to return a few of their best players.
But now we're into the Sweet 16, where it's a lot of the favorites have made their way through. Not a ton of huge upsets. And Florida still right there is the second favorite. Duke is the heavy favorite at plus 230. So lots of opportunities to maybe, you know, have a bit of value down the list. But the one seeds who survived, as you would imagine, are the favorites going into the Sweet 16. Tonight on the ice, four games, including the Vancouver Canucks, who are in New Jersey, to take on the Devils. We'll talk a little bit about this in News and Notes after we're done with this segment. But Höglander and Elias Pettersson, the shooter in the net one, the number 40, not the defenseman, they both went back to Vancouver today.
I don't know if they have enough forwards.
And
they called up.
And Demko is starting tonight for the Devils. So not for the Devils. That'd be really bad if you're a Canucks fan. But he's starting for the Canucks. So the Canucks are plus 115 underdogs against the Devils. I'm sure we'll talk about Sheldon Keefe's exploits in the News and Notes as well. And the other games on the ice, Columbus and the New York Islanders, which all of a sudden is a big playoff race game. Catch the fever between those two.
I trust you to give me like the goods on the Islanders all year. Mm-hmm. And they're in, they're out, they stink, they're no good, they're good, they're not good. Like, this is really pretty much describing the whole league in general.
That's exactly what it is. And, like, because Lou has always prioritized having these, like, veteran, good pro guys, you get a certain number of good games from them, and apparently that's all it takes to stay in the race.
And if you would like to, you can bet them as minus 135 favorites tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Later on, the Utah Hockey Club. Hopefully our new best friend, Ryan Smith, wasn't listening to Brian Burke because I don't want him to hear that because I want to go golfing with him in the summer. Anyways, they're big favorites tonight against Detroit in Utah, minus 170. The other game on the ice tonight is the Wild taking on the Dallas Stars. Stars, big favorites, as you would imagine, minus 210. And that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Miles' 2 cents is getting Dobson back has been big. He's excellent. Carry on.
Okay.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Vancouver Canucks find themselves 5 points back of St. Louis, but do have two games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But the Blues, winners of 8 of 10.
Six in a row, right?
8 of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are New York Islanders of the East or the West, where you go, like, how? We had you buried.
Yeah.
We had the funeral.
It's going to be sneaky tight. Once the games played get leveled out, 3 more from Calgary, 2 more from Vancouver, 2 more from Utah, that's going to look really tight. So every point matters. The Canucks, 4 games left on this road trip, if I'm not mistaken. New Jersey, Islanders, Columbus, Winnipeg to go. Going to need 3 wins there. Going to need 3 wins. So big one tonight. The Devils are tripping on their own skate laces every time they turn around. Obviously, seriously injured with no Hamilton, no Hughes.
Would you like to watch?
The coach is mad.
Would you like to watch Sheldon Keefe get angry?
Yeah, I do. I do want to watch that.
All right. Do we have that clip there, Jake? I think we have it.
Coach Severs just mentioned to us that he thinks the team kind of needs to have that playoff mentality going down the stretch here. Is that something?
Coach Severs just needs to play better. That would help.
Oh, that made him mad. So,
in other words, that guy just needs to shut up.
Correct.
And play.
But I actually watched the Kovacevic clip. He got totally misrepresented in that question. Like, he didn't, they weren't like asking him for some, like, his commentary on it. He basically, I forget exactly how the questions were phrased to him, but he said all the right things.
It was like the most stock.
Yeah,
normal just answer having, about, you know, the
best
mentality.
Thing we can do is just have that proper.
Somehow that's not about that.
Yeah.
That's the cherry on the ice cream.
It felt like Sheldon just didn't.
You
got
to go back to that first scoop of ice cream to figure what's going on between the two of them.
Yeah,
there is something that's been asked of that has not been delivered, or vice versa. But that thing's. There's a lot more history than just hearing that clip.
It's funny, in the first hour, Sam had the conversation about like how Sheldon didn't have many, if any, maybe one or two of those outbursts over his years.
Like I said, it was the soft and purposeless that was a real sticking point. Mm-hmm. And then he called out, he's like, our starters need to be better. Remember that?
Yeah.
Which is like totally fine. Normal then he had to come out and apologize for it after.
But so it does feel like there, I don't know if it's less eyeballs, it's more confidence being in the league longer where he can just kind of be himself a little bit more. But I can tell you, having been in the coach's office with Sheldon Keefe, that sort of energy is terrifying and regular. You know, that is like that. There's the one clip from the Amazon All or Nothing series where the goalie coach, you know, they give one up and the goalie coach is like, well, you can see it was tipped there. And Sheldon like interrupts and he's like, can we stop when he tips? Can we get a save on one that's tipped? That's allowed. You know, like that is more like behind the scenes stuff. So it makes me very happy to see, that it's not aimed at me.
I don't know if we can pull that clip up again, Jake, for anybody who's watching, but you can just see
as the question's happening, like how mad he's getting.
Like his face is just getting madder and madder, and he's just ready to explode. And he's thinking, am I going to do this? Am I going to do this? And then he just does it. Like you can just see it in his face. Look at him. Look at his face.
Mentality. Going down the stretch here. Is that something?
Kovacevic just needs to play better.
Let him finish the question.
Yeah. He's like, okay.
How about whatever you have to say about Kovacevic? He just needs to play better. Just play.
So I feel for him because.
And then the storm off.
Yeah.
Like, that was just not a, hey, any more questions.
Well, we're good. If you look at this playoff, they're not close enough.
They're not locked in.
Like they're in playoffs. They're going to make playoffs. But,
yeah,
you
but
know,
they're
6-point lead on their playoffs.
Which should have been a top three. Lock is now crawling in.
Now, there's still a chance if the Leafs were to win the division that they could get the Devils.
I said, I don't want
Sheldon Keefe beats the Leafs first round. A nice story for you.
I don't want to be Mr. Atotaso, but I have literally said this like on our first show of the year that this was a possibility.
That Sheldon's going to finally get over the hump against the Leafs.
I said it was going to be the other way around because the Devils going into this season.
Potentially.
And I do feel for them because, like, preseason, they were a cup favorite. Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking about how their decor was
unbelievable. Which last year they had 76 points or something.
Well, yeah, but they had the new goaltenders. Everybody talked about how bad they got ruined by their goalies last year. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable decor. What was that stat that they had? Like, the best 7-game stretch in NHL history when all those guys were healthy?
7 straight games under 20 shots allowed when they were healthy.
And like Hughes goes out for the year. Everybody's hurt. I do feel for Sheldon a bit because he went into a really good situation that got bad. So tough one.
Injuries, man. What can you do?
Hopefully he doesn't have to do a video like on the shores of the Hudson this year as opposed to
on an upside down plane with Captain Sully.
Devil Nation.
Just off air, I kind of asked Brian Burke about Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a great feeling about them making the playoffs. And I'm like, Berkey, didn't you watch Saturday night?
It was amazing.
Did you not watch that comeback? Did you not feel the electricity in Montreal?
Vibes,
like that building was
team.
On fuego.
Yeah. The all vibes teams this year are Montreal and Calgary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like teams that didn't think they'd be here that have rallied to get in a spot. You know, the Flames, a couple of come-from-behind wins on this road trip. They won 3 straight, you know, against very good teams, often from behind. Like, this is great vibes. Montreal is the same thing where it's like, you know, St. Louis was he going to get fired? Is he going to finish the year? And all of a sudden, Slavkovsky's better. Suzuki's found his game. Caulfield shooting it in. Things are kind of coming together. So,
I know Hudson didn't end up with any points on Saturday night. I think he played 28 minutes.
Got my Calder vote right now.
Plug your ears, Toronto Maple Leaf fans, and plug your ears, Habs fans, because I don't want this to show up on Habs Reddit, which it probably will. He's unbelievable.
What if he's Quinn Hughes?
He is unbelievable.
Yeah. They're in the family.
Like, they're just...
They're in that dynamic family.
Well, they got his kid brother's lighting it up at a college in the States, too. Like, he was really good for their world junior team.
Yeah, Washington Capitals pick.
Is it Cole?
Cole.
Yeah,
Cole
Hudson, yeah. He was really good for the junior team. Like, yeah. All these American families.
This Hudson has 53 points as a rookie D-man this year. Will likely finish with over 60.
He's
dancing.
He's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
For them.
They changed the franchise as the QB.
It really has.
Yeah.
There's just no... He dictates when he's out there.
As we're heaping praise on young prospects, have you guys seen this Gavin McKenna stuff?
No.
Like, he's...
Yes, I'm aware of him and that he's doing very well.
He in his last six games played, would you like to guess how many points he has?
I don't know, 16.
Kipper?
20. Yeah. I'm in the 15 to 16 range.
26 points in his last six games.
Is he playing minor hockey?
He plays for the Medicine Hat Tigers.
26 points in his last six games?
In his last six games.
That's a lot.
So and four and a half points.
Gavin McKenna closes out his draft year with 129 points. His minus one draft year with 129 points in 56 games. Over the past 40 years, Sidney Crosby is the only CHL player to have more in that type of season.
Oh, thank God we have another one coming.
Like, we got another one. And we have this other one. Like, I was watching a thing about another kid that's playing in Regina that's even better. Like, we got a few coming. And we got best on best, so we're okay. But this is next year, you're going to see a real tank show.
Can we not put the Connor Bedard pressure on guys anymore? Please?
No.
Can we not just...
What does that mean, though, Kip? What does that mean?
It means...
Should we not mention it? Should we...
Say there's a guy having a very good year, putting up a lot of points, and then that's it. Leave it at that. And
okay.
Just not... Like, all about superstardom and...
So we're not allowed to be excited about a kid who has 26 points in his
really
last six
good
games
guys
Canadian?
In the really good league have a chance to be really good, is my take.
I just don't want them built up and then, you know...
And Kipper's going to come on here on the show after his first game in the NHL. Too much ice!
What did Bedard do to this guy?
He's the WHL.
That's what it is. He's just an OHL guy through and through, hates the dub.
It's the overhype.
No.
That's what we do now.
Yeah,
we overhype.
We've always done that.
McDavid, he did
not
okay.
Not to this degree.
Are you kidding me?
Yes,
we did. Sid
was the most hyped thing ever.
Sid was big, for sure.
And so was McDavid.
Yep. No, I get it.
The Blackhawks are a shame. That's all.
Yeah. They're going to be still bad enough in 2026 to potentially get a shot at Gavin McKenna. So.
Oh, my God.
That'd be good for them. Speaking of Sid, I don't know if you guys have been following this, but he leads the NHL in points since the Four Nations break, 20 points, and now leads the NHL in 5-on-5 points for the season.
What a freak. 20th season in the NHL and still doing it on a team that is second worst in the East. Like, what are they without Sid? Oh, the worst is the answer.
Why doesn't he want to leave?
And then you don't get to watch him in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Was this one of the 2 years of his 2-year deal? Or was it
the
start of
the year? No, he just signed it.
Yeah, this is the last year of his long one. No. He's so upset.
You know what's interesting?
Kicks in a 2-year deal.
Yeah, at 8.7.
But I told you, he could. All he had to do was trade deadline, say, I'll go to Colorado.
Yeah, and that's still always on the table for him.
And I would bet that it will get revisited in the summer. Why wouldn't you need to? You need to stay on top of it. You need to check in. It's no more than a no thanks or no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I'm staying. But they'd have to stay on top of it. It's about Sid. It's about what he wants. If he's okay still babysitting next season and playing at this incredible high level.
So let me ask you this, okay? These guys skate together in Cole Harbour all the time in the summer. They're Nova Scotia guys, McKinnon and him.
Marchand.
And Marchand. So
they're like,
yeah, but like,
glued to the hip.
One plays for Colorado already, and I know you've alluded to the fact that there could be a whatever. What does, when Nathan's talking to him and he says, why don't you play for Colorado? Why don't you like come play for Colorado? What does he say back?
He laughs.
This is a, yeah.
He but like, because he just wants to be the one sweater guy? Is that it?
He, you know, he grew up, was his first year, did he live with Mario Lemieux?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's Penguins indoctrination from day one, baby. He's been a Penguin.
He's been Mario Jr. a little bit here in terms of the way he's carried himself, mm-hmm. the way he's private, mm-hmm. the way he's never gone on Instagram.
Never. It's the right way to do it, by the way.
You know, never once did I ever see him go, I've got a new girlfriend, but I want my privacy.
Don't take a shot at my boy Tiger. He's going through a tough time.
Tiger catching a
Tiger. Tiger. Like,
what is that?
Oh, boy. Listen, I'm as diehard a fan of Tiger Woods as you'll find. I have no comments at this time. No comments or questions at this time.
That's a weird dude.
Weird dude.
My God.
Really
that
weird.
Really it's weird. Like,
I love Tiger as a golfer.
It's like visiting a safari animal. With a T-bone steak around your neck. What are you doing, Tiger?
Just maybe don't put that.
I think he's acknowledging, yes, everyone, we are a couple, but we don't want to talk about being a couple.
Oh, my God, that's weird.
Then don't talk about it. That's a good start. To my point, Sid was always kind of like Mario. Like, where's Mario? Don't hear from him. Don't see him. Just like
he was probably
right under the radar.
Playing golf, baby.
So now,
and loving his life.
Hitting it a mile.
Loving his life.
So then what you're telling me is that the league is going to frozen envelope it for Gavin McKenna. To the Penguins. And Gavin McKenna is going to be Sidney Crosby to Sidney Crosby's Mario Lemieux. That's what's about to happen.
If only we could figure out why any league would care about Pittsburgh that much.
Well, they already did. They saved the team by frozen envelope. That's like one of the best conspiracy theories ever, the hockey conspiracy, is that they frozen enveloped it. Ask Berkey about the Pittsburgh plan. You know, he'll tell you. They won a damn lottery. Remember that?
Oh,
that was like one of the most famous quotes ever. It's like the Pittsburgh model.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I could see that happening.
Frozen envelope.
All right.
Just
all
like
right.
they did. They like they should have done for the Leafs and Connor McDavid. Anyways.
NHL looking at element of surprise and handing out awards.
See that?
Yeah, I saw that. Elliot had the report that they're just going to prank guys to the
award. They're
just
going to show up. You won the Selke trophy. And they're going to be like, grocery shopping? Thanks. Sick.
Seriously. Who's pranking, for God's sakes, an award?
It's not a prank.
No, Elliot said prank.
It appears that the heartwarming video Josh Allen received the Children's Hospital of Buffalo, or at the Children's Hospital of Buffalo, after winning the NFL MVP has got the NHL thinking. So I guess they surprised him there. Where he was doing a charity thing, and that's where they told him, and it was wonderful.
I'm not sure I've ever heard of a story more designed to piss Kipper off. Like, this is, if you made one in a lab, AI generate one to piss off Kipper, this might
be
number one.
You know how many likes the NHL could get with this new, like...
New viral video.
Yeah, like, likes beyond belief.
Lane Hudson's girlfriend surprises him with a Calder trophy.
But I'm not
retweet.
I'm not shutting my phone off. I'm just going to wait after surprise, after surprise, after surprise.
I don't know what the answer is because the award show stinks.
Yeah, just who cares? Just don't have it. Like, who watches it? Who's it for?
But the NHL, you want to create events.
They're talking about, like, money.
They just have a draft.
And that is, like.
What do you mean, talking about
money? No, saving money or spending money. Like, just get rid of that show.
What are we? Trimming all the fat, we can't have a couple things that cost extra money?
No, first of all, the award show, everybody's tired, hungover. Nobody wants to go to that show.
Nope.
Shout out to Keenan Thompson, he's off.
Okay. One more reminder. This Hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Our thanks to Brian Burke.
That was awesome.
Came in to the studio, shared his thoughts. Did he swear at all on the show? Because he really wanted to.
But nothing.
All right, enjoy your games tonight. 4 on tap. Pick your favorite one and then join us back here tomorrow. And we get to do it all over again on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.